You're listening to 99.7 The Highway Vibe. This is Vincent Vertolo giving you the Foodie 411, your guide to the inside look at off-strip food and beverage here in Las Vegas. If you're on the road, right, we're live from Pawn Plaza Studios. That's downtown on Las Vegas Boulevard. Y'all know the Pawn Stars TV show. That's where we are. I'm Vincent Vertolo. I'm the owner and operator of Good Pie Pizza Shop. It's a Brooklyn-style pizzeria that honors all things grandmother and all things old-school neighborhood, Brooklyn, Italian-American culture, pizza tradition, yada, yada, yada. We've been actually loving our time in downtown. I'm also a resident down here. And living and working in this community, it gives us a great perspective on what's happening in this movement off-strip. So if you're on the road and you're coming into Las Vegas, keep these off-strip destinations in mind, not just downtown and Chinatown, but also we're going to be looking into some of the outer neighborhoods where the locals are hanging out. If you live in Las Vegas and you're a local foodie, you know what we're talking about. But if you don't, here's where you're going to get that information. It's the Foodie 411. All right, so I'm a little bit fired up today. We have a great show coming up. We're going to have, coming into the studio, Brian Howard, the chef and owner of Sparrow and Wolf, arguably one of the best restaurants, not just in Las Vegas, but in the country. And Brian was one of those trendsetters who began that really amazing voyage of, I'm cooking in a big strip restaurant, to now I own my own restaurant off strip. So Brian Howard will be out in a little bit. And also, super exciting, one of the hottest chefs in town, Chef Jamie Tran. She's got this really amazing restaurant called the Black Sheep, Black Sheep Las Vegas. So Chef Jamie Tran will be out in a little bit. And then, big news, the Las Vegas Review-Journal food writer Al Mancini is coming out to give us his perspective on the off-strip movement. And also just, Al always has some great things to say and awesome information about what's going on in the Las Vegas food and beverage scene. Al Mancini coming out in just a little bit. So I'm fired up for that. Want to share with everybody out there some information on just my favorite places to go eat, right? Because I'm that food guy who, I'll travel wide and far. I just don't want to stay in my own neighborhood. I want to travel for good food. And if you're like me, it's worth the trip to get something super delicious. So back a couple months back, Eater.com, which is an amazing blog that's multiple cities. If you haven't heard of Eater.com, check it out. Eater.com/Las Vegas. They asked me what my favorite places were to go on my downtime when I'm not making pizza at Good Pie, where I just love to go eat. And so we're going to go over some of that information with you right here. Who's a sandwich lover? Any sandwich lovers out there on the road? Well, check it out. The Good Witch. I love The Good Witch. I love eating with my hands. If you go to thegoodwitch.com, you'll check it out. You can check them out also on Facebook. The Good Witch has an amazing sandwich. It's called the Pig of the Week. It's awesome. Every week, this sandwich just changes. It's a different form of delicious pork. It could be bacon. It could be a belly. It could be some other type of shredded pork meat. It's just all this pork deliciousness. You can find it at The Good Witch. My favorite sandwich is The Good Witch. It's awesome. And we're going to get Chef Josh Clark from The Good Witch, hopefully. Josh, if you're out there, shout out to you, buddy. I'd love to have you as a guest on the radio show, but you're a little bit busy, so get back to me on that. And also, you know, we're talking about some great dinners. When I go out to a great dinner, I'm thinking about the kitchen at Atomic. The Atomic Bar is an iconic bar in Vegas. It's kind of was remade a few years back. It's got that old Vegas vibe. It's on Fremont Street. And then about a year and a half ago, they opened the kitchen at Atomic. Chef Justin Kingsley Hall. Again, I'm a pizza guy, so I just love to eat with my hands. But if you're civilized enough to use a knife and fork, this place has great stuff for you too. I love the burger. I love the sandwich. And there's great vegan options there. So vegans, vegetarians, the kitchen at Atomic is my go-to spot for dinner. And then special occasions, right? Because if you're coming in for the big weekend, you may be rolling with a deep group of like 10, 20, 30 people. When I go out for special occasions, it's always at least 20. And my go-to spot for large groups in Las Vegas is Cornish Pasty Company on Charleston. Cornish Pasty, let me tell you, if you don't know what a pasty is, it's kind of like a cross between a burrito and a calzone or something like that. It's got this delicious filling. it's this really flaky crust that they roll up into this, it's kind of like a cone shape, or not necessarily a cone, maybe half moon shape. And the pasty is just awesome at Cornish Pasty. And they really have the downtown vibe, right? There's always beautiful people at Cornish Pasty. All the good-looking guys and gals are out there. And then also, it's a huge room. There's a pool table. There's a huge bar, craft beer, awesome cocktails. When I go to Cornish, I'm just getting a shot, a beer, a pasty, and they have these really delicious scotch eggs, which are these eggs that have this meat around it and the egg in the middle. And then when you crack it open, it's this ooey-gooey yolk dripping out. Cornish Pasty is the go-to for that. And also, I'm a brunch guy, right? I just love brunch. And there's so many different great brunches, because I like on the weekends, right? You may have partied the night before, guys, and you're looking for a great brunch option. This one's a little further up, but it's worth the Uber ride if you go to Lulu's Bed and Breakfast. Lulu's is also a bakery. They make bread for a lot of the great restaurants in the Valley, but they have an amazing French toast. I just go crazy. I get the French toast at Lulu's. I'm just getting this really delicious, the butter there. I don't know what they do with the butter. They could be bringing in European butter or whatever it is, but the butter tastes like no other butter I've ever gotten before. It's like they're churning butter in the back room at Lulu's. It's amazing. You got to check out Lulu's Bed and Breakfast. Check them out on Facebook too. So those are just a few of the places that I love going to personally when I'm not making pizzas at Pawn Plaza at Good Pie Pizza Shop. I'm going over to the Good Witch. I'm going to Lulu's Bed and Breakfast for brunch. I'm checking out all my friends at Cornish Pasty and, of course, you know, the Kitchen at Atomic for some of the best food, not just off the strip, but off strip, on strip, Lulu's Bed and Breakfast. I got to tell you, the bread there, I took a few loaves of bread home from Lulu's and I kept it home. It was like so fresh that 3 days later, the bread was still fresh. So you can bring stuff home with you. Lulu's Bed and Breakfast, one of the best brunch places in town. All right, so that's enough of my favorite stuff. Now, here's the thing. Thanksgiving's coming up, and I read some interesting data recently on Airbnb. And it's pretty remarkable because the Las Vegas market, if you haven't made your hotel accommodations yet, guys, look at Airbnb as an alternative, because you really get the sense to see what it feels like to live in a town, like what a local feels like. And that's what this show is all about. Eating like a local, drinking like a local, living like a local, and Airbnb can make that experience fully realized. So the fastest growing market for Airbnb in the country, Las Vegas is top three. And it's no surprise because we're an international destination. And sometimes just staying in the hotels and waiting on the long lines and paying for parking and paying resort fees, it just might not be the experience you're looking for. But Airbnb, well then, who's doing the cooking? Are you going to the farmer's market like the other foodies in town and sourcing your own food? And maybe you're coming in for Thanksgiving weekend and you're staying at an Airbnb. Well, what are you going to do? Well, the good news is we got a couple of places in town here that will do all the cooking for you. You go pick up the Thanksgiving meal. It's warm. It's hot. And here's just a few of those places for Thanksgiving. You don't want to cook, but you're in Vegas. You don't want to go to a restaurant, but you're at someone's house or you're at an Airbnb. Andre's Bistro and Bar. Check them out. They got a website, andresbistro.com. Also a great Facebook page. They will give you a whole Thanksgiving dinner where you can actually just fool everyone like you cooked it yourself, like your chef Andre. So Andre's Bistro and Bar, one of my other favorite options, guys, in Tivoli Village. It's in Summerlin. It's about a 20-minute ride from the Strip, Echo and Rig. It's a butcher house. It's a steakhouse. It's amazing Thanksgiving meal. A few years ago, I actually was a guest at someone's home, and they had the Echo and Rig Thanksgiving feast. Unbelievably delicious. I'm talking a juicy, succulent turkey, really amazing sides, everything from those collard greens, all the Thanksgiving trimmings, and even pie. I'm a pie guy, as you know, not just pizza pie, but I'm getting into the apple pies, and I'm going to eat about 7 desserts on Thanksgiving. I typically gain a few pounds, and then I figure out a New Year's resolution soon after. So Echo and Rig, again, another great option for a Thanksgiving prepared meal. And finally, last but not least, is Honey Salt. They've been making great food in the Summerlin area. It's really, really amazing. But you can get a Thanksgiving feast catered to a specific number of people. So you might have only 4, you might have 10, you might have 12 people, whatever the number. Honey Salt can make you that Thanksgiving feast. You go to the restaurant, you pick it up, you bring it home. It's hot and ready on Thanksgiving Day. Amazing option at Honey Salt. So guys, check out honeysalt.com. Look them up on Facebook for all of your Thanksgiving needs. If you don't want to cook and work for 10 hours, you can go to Andre's Bistro and Bar, Echo and Rigger, Honey Salt, and they can hook you up with some Thanksgiving goodies. Now, oh, by the way, big event coming up. Mark your calendars, everybody. December 1st, our favorite neighborhood coffee shop at Vesta Coffee Roasters. On December 1st, they're celebrating their two-year anniversary. And not, you know, I got a cup of Vesta coffee here right in front of me. And that's the only reason I'm able to go 500 miles an hour on this radio show. Now, you shouldn't be driving as fast as I'm talking. But I got to tell you, Vesta Coffee Roasters is the place to get the best coffee in town, roasted in-house. They source all of their coffee from directly from the producers, directly from the growers. Jared, the owner, one of the best coffee guys in town, he's going down to Colombia, he's going into South America, and he's working with coffee farms personally to bring Las Vegas the best coffee beans you can get. And on December 1st, two-year anniversary, free coffee all day long from open to close. So I'll be there. It's going to be a great party. So check out Vesta Coffee Roasters on December 1st for free coffee. Shout out to our friends at Vesta. Also, you know, I've been looking into Facebook events. The Facebook event page, I got to tell you, it's the go-to for what's going on in town. There's so many things happening. Black Friday sales, you're going shopping. You may want to head over to the Facebook page and check that out. You can also try to add me as a friend. I reached the max, but if you're super cool, I'll delete one of my old friends, and then I'll add you on as a new friend because I have to do that. I'm at the max friend limit. So it's at Vincent Rotolo, and we're doing an amazing Black Friday promo at Good Pie here at Palm Plaza. So if you want more information on that, you can just shoot an email over to pizza@goodpie.com. So pizza@goodpie.com. And you can get information on the Black Friday promo. All I can tell you is that there's black garlic involved in this promotion. If you don't know about black garlic, guys, it's super delicious. We got some black garlic honey we actually made. And then we got some other black garlic products from our friend James Tree, Chef James Tree. Shout out to James over at Esther's Kitchen. So on Black Friday, Good Pie, we're doing the black garlic pizza. You heard it here first, but only for the Foodie 411 fans. Only here. So now, I want to really give you guys an information on Chef Brian Howard's going to be coming into the studio pretty soon. Now, you can see Brian Howard. Check him out at sparrowandwolf.com. Chef Jamie Tran will be joining us in the studio in just a couple minutes. BlackSheepVegas.com. And also welcoming in Al Mancini of the Las Vegas Review Journal. You can see all of Al Mancini's writing at ReviewJournal.com. So we'll be back with Brian Howard after these messages. You're listening to the Foodie 411. I'm your host, Vincent Rotolo. This is 99.7, The Highway Vibe, coming to you from Palm Plaza Studios on Las Vegas Boulevard. And we're back, 99.7, The Highway Vibe. This is Vincent Rotolo, your host of the Foodie 411, giving you the inside perspective on the off-strip food and beverage scene in Las Vegas. Coming into the studio, the hotly anticipated appearance of Brian Howard of Sparrow and Wolf. Brian, welcome to the show.
Dude, thanks for having me, man. You're almost a natural at this.
You know,
it looks like you should be doing this.
I get so excited just to kind of get the perspective of the food and beverage world in Vegas that most people traveling in or don't really know about. So that's what gets me fired up. But you have been getting so much attention for Sparrow and Wolf. I mean, I feel like most people around the country probably know about the restaurant, but can you, before we get into all this stuff about what's going on today at Sparrow, I think for those of you who don't know Brian Howard, he is one of the most well-respected, probably the biggest leader of the off-strip movement and inspiration to a lot of guys that followed. And so, Brian, how did you just find yourself in Las Vegas cooking? Where'd you get started here?
Well, I got started. I grew up in Detroit. And around 20, I moved out here. There was nothing left for me back there for what I wanted to do. It was either become a DJ or cook at the time. And my girlfriend at the time was like, you're much better cook than you are a DJ.
So what were the music that you were listening to at that point
in
Detroit?
I did a lot of house. I mean, I like threw rave parties when I was a kid and I did things like that. So, but you know, a lot of deep house and Detroit techno and things like that.
So you left the world of house and techno behind for a food career.
I don't
think
I really had a career in it, but at the time I felt like I did, you know. No, I came out here, man, and I was enamored with, like, I wasn't ever surrounded by ingredients or anything like that. I grew up pretty much on, Kraft mac and cheese and Chef Boyardee and things like that. You know, I really didn't have a lot of influence of fresh ingredients. And when I came out to Las Vegas, I was kind of, like, blown away because I was like, there's so many people doing really cool things with food. And it was an early time in Las Vegas when things were starting to kind of move away from buffets and you were starting to see people come in and actually cooking. So I had spent, you know, the last 20 years in different, working for different operators and great chefs. I never went to school. I did for like a week.
So you I want to clear that up. You didn't go to culinary school.
For like a week.
So what happened during that week? Because you're pretty talented now. Did that week have an impact?
No, I enrolled in a school in Pittsburgh when I was supposed to graduate, and I didn't graduate on time. I had to go to summer school and finish adult education.
Me too. So we have that in common, but that's another segment about my summer school days.
I was a bit of a f*** up, and then when I got here, I just said, you know, I made a decision. I'm like, I'm going to put my head down and just cook.
But what triggered that? Because there's something that has to happen for you. You don't just wake up one day and say, I'm leaving Detroit. And like, what brought you to Vegas? Was there one moment that you remember where you said, this is it, I'm moving?
Yeah, I think I was like, that's a whole nother story. That's a whole nother story. Probably not going to share on radio. But no, I had to make a decision. I just had to get out of there and find better things and more positive influence in my life. And I had a girlfriend that was moving with her family out here. And originally I wasn't going to come. And then I was like, all right, we got to go. So,
and what was the first job that you had in Vegas? Can we talk about where you got your start in town?
My very first job, just because I needed a paycheck, was Buffalo Wild Wings on Cheyenne. And
shout out to BB Dubs, right? Baby.
Nobody, I don't think anybody knows that, right? But I worked there probably a week, and then I hit the
strip.
And
were you on the fryer? You were frying wings?
Yeah, like a week. And then I was down on the strip. And I worked at a place called Nick's on the Strip with Michael Van Staden. It was our first jobs together.
Okay.
It was like a little mob ran Italian joint, and it was like something out of a movie. I was like just blown away.
Sounds like a place I want to go eat.
It's now where the, you know, I don't even think it exists anymore. The Polo Towers are there, and that's now Hawaiian Marketplace. And obviously seen the evolution of the strip. But I worked there, and then I realized real quick that there was something there for me in the culinary community. And I moved on to start cooking with some really good chefs. And I think it was the first time I had gotten something thrown at me, or somebody that broke a chip off my shoulder and was like, listen, you can be a joker for the rest of your life, or you can fucking do something with yourself.
Right.
Can we say
do you remember who that was?
That was Mark Hopper. So he opened Bouchon. I think once I went, I had started working like Lutèce and understanding, you know, French fine dining and getting my ass kicked and things like that. But it wasn't until I had a big attitude. Mark Hopper was the one that dude, jokers sign up downstairs.
Because knowing who you are today, it's hard for me to believe that that's the person you were then. Because I feel like the Brian Howard that I know is a very different person, very kind of like an amazing leader, an inspired chef. He's doing things that, quite frankly, the entire community just looks up to you and admires you. And so how did you get from that point of being in the kitchen and kind of like getting that wake-up call to where you are today and who you are?
Again, I think you go through so many things in life where it puts you in a place where you got to just make a decision. And my decision was like, I want to be great. I don't want to be anything but that.
Right.
Like, I'm going to put my head down and just work. I don't think of anything like that of myself. I think I'm a cook just like the rest of everybody here. And I'm trying to make a difference in the city that I love. You know, so for me being here and working for other people, I realized that there was something here for me. And you know, obviously I believe in the growth of this city and things like that. That's what took me to open in my own restaurant. You know, I was like, okay, I got to do this, because if not, I'm going to be continue to cook the same way on the strip, where it was catering to the guests of Las Vegas, which is great. But at the same time, again, we talk about being kind of handcuffed to doing certain things because of a build out cost or this and that, right? Like, or a clientele is coming through the door. I wanted much more than that.
And so you wanted more. Now, did you always have a dream to have your own restaurant?
I told myself by I was 31, when I think my mid-20s, I told my wife, I'm going to open a restaurant by the time I'm 31. happened when I was 33. So
that's amazing.
Kind of stayed on track. Or and no, so, I guess 30, yeah, 34. I started the progress for it around 33. Yeah.
Well, that's still a great accomplishment because of the just the level of quality. So let's just shift gears for a minute and talk about Sparrow and Wolf. You have a location in Chinatown. And I think, you know, for me, when I heard about that you were going to Chinatown, because I'm a downtown guy, I know you were looking for space, and it was all over the media that Brian Howard's opening this restaurant, he's looking for space, and so I thought Chinatown could have been a risk, but then it seems like it's worked out for you. So how did you find your location, and kind of just walk us through a little bit of that, I'm opening the restaurant, I have financing, the deal's ready, and then getting to your location, like how did that all come about?
Yeah, Spring Mountain Road, I mean, I've always, you know, been a big fan of everything that happens on that street. You know, for the last 20 years, I've been eating in all the noodle joints and the Chinese restaurants and whatnot, and the sushi. And, you know, I realized at one point you can cook the way you want on that road, right? There's nobody telling me that I can't cook sweetbreads or abalone or, right? They're already doing it, right? I'm not reinventing anything. I'm coming there to a place that is established for serving ingredients and cooking the way they feel. So I knew that was, you know, that would be in my benefit. The location was great because it didn't feel like another strip mall. It had a little bit of, you know, this mid-century architecture to it with the curved windows, and had a big parking lot. So for me, it made sense. It felt right. As soon as I walked in the door, I'm like, this has got to be it. I couldn't afford it at the time they were selling it. And that's when I came back downtown. I came full circle, actually, to the front, to that space, and sat down with them. Like, okay, we got to make a deal.
And it worked out for the better, because now, I mean, like, I've gone to the restaurant, like, several times. And you don't have a reservation, so like I it was hard to get a table. I had to either wait or sit at the bar. Like the place seems packed, and you know, and I'm going on like a Monday or Tuesday because that's when I like to go out. Tell me, how can we get a reservation at Sparrow and Wolf?
You know, you can go to the website sparrowandwolflv.com or check us out on Open Table. We're now on there.
All right, if you're driving in on the road, sparrowandwolflv.com. There's a network on the road. Highway Radio has internet. We're going to hook you up with the connection. Now, tell me about the Facebook page, the social media. How can we find Sparrow and Wolf and follow you guys?
Yeah, we're at Sparrow and Wolf LV on both Facebook and Instagram. We don't do Twitter, but yeah, you can find
I got
us
in
there.
Trouble. Yeah, I'm banned from Twitter, so I'm glad you're not on there. That's a different story. But so listen, guys, you're coming in, Sparrow and Wolf. It's been in every top five list, not just off strip, but in all of Las Vegas, including the strip. It's won so many awards. So, Brian, what's upcoming? Do you have any events coming for Sparrow and Wolf or that you're doing that you're part of?
We're gearing up for Thanksgiving, obviously. We're doing a real fun, like, Asian-inspired comfort Thanksgiving menu. So
can we get tickets to that?
You can just make reservations right online. Yep. Also, New Year's Eve, obviously, we're going to be doing a big party again. It was a huge hit last year. We did a Gatsby party. This year, I think we're toying around with like the idea of a 70s futuristic, what it would be in the future if you were in the 70s.
Guys, I just finalized my New Year's plans. I'm going to be at Sparrow and Wolf. You know, it's so incredible that your journey is so inspiring. I mean, you came here, you're looking for that new start, and you know, you put in your hard work, but you made the decision, hey, I'm going to be great. And I got to tell you, I think you are great. I'm so excited for you. Now, are you planning to open any new restaurants, or is there any new projects on the horizon that we can, because I hear rumors.
Yeah, rumors are great.
I don't know if they're true or not. Is there anything new coming up that you're doing or working on?
You know what? You can, after the 26th, you can book our private dining room. We're building a private dining room right now that's going to seat 25. So we have that now. That's happening with the renovation. We're looking at number two, what that is for us, what makes most impact. It is going to happen. Something's going to happen next year. I can't talk much more about it, but yeah, we're going to work on something.
Will you agree to come back and give us the information when you're ready to talk about these new projects that are coming up?
Yeah, absolutely.
Brian, thank you so much for coming in.
It's a pleasure.
Any final words to our listeners?
No, we love Las Vegas. We love the off-strip dining scene. There's so many great things happening. Obviously, you'll hear on this show, but go support everything off-strip.
Guys, support the off-strip culinary world. We'll be back after these messages with Chef Jamie Tran from The Black Sheep. You're listening to 99.7 The Highway Vibe, coming to you live from Palm Plaza Studios on Las Vegas Boulevard. This is Vince Rotolo giving you the Foodie 411. And we're back. This is Vince Rotolo, host of the Foodie 411. You're listening to 99.7 The Highway Vibe, coming to you live from Palm Plaza Studios on Las Vegas Boulevard. So if you're driving out, coming into Vegas, or you're out on the road, maybe you're just tuning in, you probably have heard of the Black Sheep Restaurant. Here we have with us Chef Jamie Tran. Jamie, welcome to the studio.
Hey, guys.
What's going on?
Thank you for having me. Nothing much, just chilling with you.
So Jamie, I got to tell you, I'm a huge fan of your restaurant. I love your food. And, you know, you've gotten a lot of publicity out there. For those of you who have not heard of Jamie Tran, I don't know where you've been hiding, but get on the internet, get on eater.com. They love Jamie. They're always talking about her. And so, Jamie, how did you actually get started cooking professionally? Can you just tell us to the beginnings of your career?
Cooking professionally? Well, I started pretty young. My dad was a chef, so to make some money, I started to like wash dishes at like where he worked at. He was a executive chef, so I went there, washed dishes.
So it's in the blood. Your dad was a cook, your chef, right?
Yeah.
And then you start to help him out. Now, what age was that?
I was about 13, 14 years old.
So early teens.
Yeah.
And then what was the next step in your, like, you started out young. Did you always work in restaurants?
I didn't want to be a chef. I didn't want to be like my dad. Because me and him had butted so much that I was like, I just needed to make money. So I worked in the restaurant with him. He made me work. Then I started learning my work ethic and all this stuff. And I saw how hard he was working. But I didn't want to turn out like him. I was like, no, I don't want to be working in the kitchen like 10, 12 hours a day. So actually, I tried to be like, funny thing is, I was like, I'm going to be a doctor.
Yes.
I tried to be an accountant. I tried to do all the stereotypic Asian careers.
Oh, wow. So you did. So you doctor, like accountant, right?
All that. And then I was like, no, I'm going to be an optometrist now. All the trans do that. Wait.
So optometry, right?
Yeah, I did optometry. I went into the bio and I was like in chemistry. And then I was like, what am I doing? I think the day I realized that was I was in chemistry class. We had a pop quiz and she corrected it, turned it back. I looked at my test and I was like, I can't do this.
So you didn't score well enough.
I actually had an A.
Wait, so how did you not do it? Then you were successful at it.
I was bored. So I was like, I don't want to do this. And then so I decided to switch major, went to my counselor's office, switch major to business management. Then I got into business accounting because I was like, well, I'll try to be an accountant now. And then I was like, nope. And my family's like, face it, you're going to be like dad. And I was like, okay. And all my friends were like, dude, you're going to be a chef. And I was like, all right, I'll go to business school, and then I'll go straight to Vegas and just worked hard then.
And so you went through all of that, right? Trying different things. And so, because I can relate to that. I'm sure a lot of listeners can relate to, you know, your family kind of business and you're being born into it and then you rebel against it.
Yeah.
And you try different things, but your heart leads you back to the kitchen, right? It leads you back to your roots. And so then you came to Vegas and what'd you start doing in Las Vegas? Did you have a job before you got here or?
No, I actually didn't. I just planned to just graduate from San Francisco State, pack my bags, pack the U-Haul, put my car on the trailer, and I just drove out to Vegas. And
that's like a Vegas movie. You guys have all seen that movie. Packing my stuff. I'm getting on the road, driving to Vegas, right? You see all the signs.
Now,
you grew up in California.
I grew up in Cali, yes.
And what part of California are you from?
So I'm North Cal.
Shout out to North Cal. They're out there listening on the road.
I actually listen to 99.7 on the freeway, driving back always in California. So.
Yeah.
So... hey, guys.
So NorCal people on the road coming down, come to Black Sheep and see Jamie Tran. She's killing it. Now, let's talk about the food at the restaurant because it's really different and unique and it's comfortable at the same time. So can you describe what style of food you're doing at the Black Sheep?
Honestly, it's basically me. Like, I kind of got tired of doing, like, just strictly French, and I was getting hammered with the French. You can't steer away from that working with French chefs.
Okay.
So I miss home, I miss Cali, I miss my mom, my dad, and stuff like that. So I decided when I decided to do what I'm comfortable with.
Yeah, cool.
I was comfortable with. So I decided to do things I grew up eating and then just use things I learned from working in like fine dining restaurants and stuff like
that.
So
it's a blend of your family kind of recipes and things you miss from growing up as a kid. And then it's blended with like the French techniques that you've learned through just cooking professionally.
Correct. Yeah.
And when did you open the restaurant?
We We opened it in May 2017.
So it's been a couple years, right? You're getting into the second year, year and a half.
Yeah.
And so how are things been at the restaurant? Because I hear nothing but great things. I've been out there. It was packed. You got a beautiful... By the way, if you go to the Black Sheep, it's a sexy crowd. People in there are really good looking. So you better dress to impress.
What was the question?
Sorry, well, the question was, because I got sidetracked because I had a vision of your restaurant and all the good looking people in there. But the question is, like, when I come into the restaurant, right? I'm looking in. How am I getting a seat at the restaurant? Where do I book a reservation?
Just through Open Table. Just call up the restaurant. It's just pretty easy. Just call in and make a reservation, or just walk in and then hopefully you get a seat.
So what's your favorite dish? Because my thing is, you were making these salmon skin tacos, fish tacos. The salmon skin was the shell. And I couldn't believe how delicious and crunchy it was. What are some of the new dishes you have coming out, or what are your favorite dishes on the menu we can talk about?
My favorite dish is always going to be the Imperial Rolls, because that reminds me of mom. That's what she did growing up, and that's one of my favorite. Another favorite is the pork belly. I love pork.
The pork belly.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, pork. You guys. I've had the pork belly there. It's sinful. Be careful. So what is coming up in the future for Black Sheep? Are you looking to expand the restaurant with all the success you've had, or what's the next step for Black Sheep?
Myself, I like to go at my pace. So me and my partners know that. We go at our pace, but we've been looking at some spaces and stuff like that. But again, it's going to be, I want to do it when it's the right moment.
I heard a rumor you were opening up a pizza shop. Is that true?
With you, yes.
No, because, you know, pizza in Vegas has gone to another level, and we'll talk about that. But I can tell you that one of the things, now you're on Facebook. Where can we find your Facebook page?
My personal, or just the Black Sheep?
No, your personal. I mean, and the Black Sheep. Just give everybody, because people are on the face. Because the Facebook event thing is a big thing for people coming in. They try to find these events. So let's talk about the business's Facebook page and your Facebook page. Because we're going to stalk you too, right?
You can stalk me on Instagram. I like Instagram
more. Yeah. So what's your Instagram page?
My handle is JSTran26 on Instagram. And Black Sheep, if you want to follow us, is Black Sheep Vegas on Instagram and Facebook.
Oh, nice. Now, I got to get to this. Now, I hear that there is some really amazing cocktails at the restaurant. I just don't want to talk about the food, right? And so tell me some of the cocktails at the restaurant that you like, or what the wine list is like, and what's the inspiration behind the beverage? Because the reason I ask is this. A lot of restaurants, you have the beverage program, and then you have the menu, and they're really just sometimes disconnected. But at the Black Sheep, I really feel like it was cohesive. It was really harmoniously kind of like integrated. So can we talk about the beverage program a little bit?
The beverage program is like, for us, it's the same thing as the food. So my bartender, me, him, we talk, like lead bartender, we talk about seasonal ingredients that we want to mash up, and what I'm doing, what he's doing. So he does the same thing. He's pushing hard. He wants to create creative things as well. So, and like, I feel like the cocktails goes more with the food that we serve.
It totally does. And that's one of the most impressive things about the restaurant, because they're really just go well together. And you can tell there's a thought process behind the creation of the cocktails as well as the menu. And so when we're looking at sourcing food, is one of the things I'm really fanatical about. I like stalk my vendors. I've driven to vendors' houses before. Literally, I'll go to vendors and I'll be like, listen, I only want to buy produce from you, or I only want to buy like my meats from you. So how are you sourcing your products? Is there a mentality that you have for sourcing items at the restaurant?
I do. I'm very particular with the vendors I use. I'm very loyal. So I have vendors, reps that I've been with from the strip. So for myself, it's a more of a personal thing. So a lot of my connections is personal loyalty. So it's basically my vendors will, I've been with some of them for 8-9 years now.
You get to know them. Yeah. They get to know your standards and your expectations.
Yeah.
So how do you deal with a vendor when they send you something that you just, you know, you're not feeling how it looks?
I try to be polite, but at the same time, I go.
Send it back. Send it back. There's no, hey, listen, first class ingredients only at the Black Sheep. Vendors, if you're listening, you better send Jamie Tran the best stuff you have. She's sending it all back to you. So what's coming up in the near future? We got Thanksgiving coming up. You doing any special menus?
No, actually, I love Thanksgiving. I want to spend time with my family. So we're closing for Thanksgiving. So
are you cooking at home?
I'm cooking at home. Like, that's my favorite holiday.
So can you walk us through really quick Thanksgiving in the Tran house? household, what's on the menu at home?
Thanksgiving is turkey. I do obviously mashed potatoes. I love mashed potatoes, two different types for my sisters. And then I make cookies in the morning. 3 a.m. I bake cookies so they can wake up, have cookies. And then we
This sounds great. Jay, you got room for one
stuffing?
More?
Yeah. No,
me and a couple of friends? Yeah, two more. Sean, the producer's like, yo, I want to go to Jamie Tran's house for Thanksgiving.
We do mac and cheese, cornbread. We do all of that. We do the works. So.
This sounds amazing. All right, guys, listen, if you're coming in, where can we, what's the address of the restaurant? What's the location?
It's 8680 West Warm Springs, just off of the freeway 215 in Durango, like just exit off Durango and...
All right, guys, you're on the road, right? You may want to check in your hotel, but there's going to be a long line there anyway. It's Friday afternoon. Everyone's checking in. Instead of going there, head straight over to the Black Sheep, directly into asking for Chef Jamie Tran. Tell her the Foodie 411 sent you. And Jamie, any final words to the listeners on the road?
If you come in, I'll give you a shot.
What? I'm coming down right now, guys. Free shots at the Black Sheep. You heard it here on the Foodie 411, guys. I can't believe it. I'll be there tonight. If you guys want to see Vince Rotolo get a little crazy.
I do.
One free shot leads to another, Jamie. Oh, man. Jamie, it's been great having you. Thank you so much for coming in. We're going to be back in just a few minutes with Al Mancini of the Las Vegas Review-Journal. You're listening to the Foodie 411 with Vincent Rotolo on 99.7 The Highway Vibe, coming to you live from Palm Plaza Studios on Las Vegas Boulevard. And we're back, the Foodie 411 with your host, Vincent Rotolo, coming to you live from Palm Plaza Studios on Las Vegas Boulevard. It's 99.7, the Highway Vibe. Guys, coming to the studio, gracing us with his divine presence, none other than my friend, Al Mancini of the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Al, thanks for coming, buddy.
I've been called a lot of things. Divine is not one that comes up very frequently, man. Not very frequently at all. Unless we're talking about the John Waters guy, I guess, Lady Divine, right? I've been compared to that divine, I suppose.
You know what it is, man? It's like, it's funny because when I think of you, I think of the first time I met you, and you probably don't remember, but it was at Flour and Barley when they first opened. It was the first day they were serving to the public back in like 2014.
I was there scamming free food like I always do in this town.
Actually, I met you. I was a manager there at the time, and I remember they hired me as like the last manager, and that was the job that kind of took me back into food and beverage because I thought I kind of had it. I was working on the Strip, and I'm like, you know, I came from New York, and I was very just confused about what Las Vegas really was at that point because I hadn't discovered, you know, the downtown world and the off-strip world where I am today. So I met you, and you were eating a slice of pizza, and I was really intimidated because I heard all these things about you. That you're this
asshole. Is that the word you've heard?
I didn't hear that, okay. But I heard, oh, this guy really knows his stuff. And I thought most of the guys in town, like I'm a pizza addict. My life revolves around pizza. And you were there just eating a slice. And most people that I've talked to that are the so-called experts, right? They don't really know a lot about pizza. And so I just went over to you and I remember that I said these words. I don't know if you remember. I said, how is the slice? And you totally just broke it down. And I was blown away. In fact, I was speechless. We talked for about 45 minutes, and I barely said anything. You just kind of gave me, and I'm like, this guy's awesome.
I have a bad habit. I just take it and run with it, huh, man? I'm sorry about that, too, I guess. Was I drinking that day?
You might have been. Listen, I don't remember, but I do remember just being impressed with you, and then I met you along the way at all these different places, you know, obviously Evil Pie and Dom DeMarco's and different pizza places that I've been, you know, working at, you know, along the pizza journey here in Las Vegas, and so... You're considered to be like a real expert on just not just hospitality and food, but just food culture in Vegas. And how'd you get to that point? I just want to kind of get there with that.
Well, I mean, you know, you and I get along because we're both food geeks, right? I mean, we could sit there and, you know, there've been a lot of chefs I've known over the years that are like that and others who aren't, you know, I mean, you know, we just obsess on it to the point of minutia that if we were to start talking the way we talk, nobody would be listening to this, you know,
yeah,
I mean,
we just, totally
we just
get
go
into
on
like-
and on, but I mean, you know, I came to this from, you know, being a journalist and, my first job, you know, I came to Las Vegas to cover entertainment, really. And then my first job writing locally was reviewing strip clubs, which is, you know, an only in Vegas kind of gig.
How do you get that job? For all the potential people out there that want to be a strip club reviewer. Al Mancini is going to give you the pro tip right now. How do you get that job, Al?
I pretty much get drunk with the woman who's in charge of giving out that job. That's what I did. And show up late because you're getting tattooed, get drunk with her, have your wife talk about how you enjoy hanging out at strip clubs, and next thing you know. So that was, you know, that was my first gig writing locally, but I was covering all the national entertainment stuff. But, you know, I've always been a foodie. I've always loved going out to food. So for me, you know, it's not about being an expert. It's about interviewing the experts, meeting the experts, talking to the people, you know. So, you know, I find a guy like yourself, and you and I have a very similar philosophy. You know, we just want to meet the people who are the best at what they do. And then we want to just learn as much as we can from them, you know. Yes. So, you know, after, you know, I've been writing about food in this town probably for 14, 15 years. After 14, 15 years of just talking to the best, some of it has to stick, no matter how intoxicated I was during those conversations. Some of it has stuck into the back of my brain. So, you know, that's pretty much it. You know, surround yourself with smart people, and some of it's going to rub off, no matter how stupid you are.
I agree, and yeah, that's me personally. I mean, you described it. I'm not self-deprecation humor, but seriously, I've just been around some great people, and I've just gotten, you know, a little bit more knowledgeable and more skill and more passion for food through osmosis of being around great people. But you mentioned something interesting about the time you've been in Vegas. It's been 14 or 15 years here writing, or?
I've been here since 2001, and I've been writing. I came out here to cover entertainment and the strip and, you know, all the shows and, you know, all the musicians and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I've kind of morphed into covering food primarily.
And what do you think is, for you, kind of the biggest change from when you started till today?
Yeah, I just think Las Vegas is really in an adolescent phase right now. You know, I mean, it had its fun childhood, and right now it's growing up, and it's learning who it wants to be. You know, I mean, just like we all were when we were between maybe the ages of 15 and 25, you know, where we're just we're finally realizing we could do some important things, and we could do some serious things that are going to make a lasting impact on the future. And, you know, we're still young enough to screw up and to take stupid chances as a city. Not me personally, I've done that, but you know, as a city, we can still do that. But, you know, we're still doing it with an eye towards doing important stuff, and that's where all these chefs are. You know, you had Brian Howard, you had Jamie Tran on today. I mean, you know, these are people who came through, you know, the learning phase. They, you know, they were young at what they did, and they were learning from the absolute best. And now they're at that point where they're building for their future, but they're still taking some risks and taking some chances. And
so cool, isn't it, though?
Yeah, I mean, when Brian Howard opened Sparrow and Wolfman, I mean, I said, wow, this guy's doing something way too smart. It's never going to work. And he proved me wrong, man. I mean, it worked perfectly. He found his niche. And, you know, he was young enough to take a really ballsy chance on Sparrow and Wolf. But at the same time, you know, he was mature enough to do it right and do it intelligently. That's where we are in Las Vegas. And, you know, whether it's the coming of age with the Golden Knights being here, you know, I mean, our institutions are happening. We're getting culture here. We're getting art. We're getting, you know, sports teams. And we're getting these chefs who were pretty much, you know, just suckling at the teat of the casinos for a while. And now they're saying, man, you know, I want to make my own thing. And they're going out into the burbs. They're going downtown. And it's such an exciting time to be here, man. It's such an exciting time to eat. And the fact that Uber is now around, nobody's afraid to get in the cab and try to give directions, you know? I mean, because that wasn't around when I came here in 2001. You know, you had to figure out how to drive there, stay sober enough to drive back. I mean, it was a mess.
Off-strip food and beverage is more accessible than it's ever been before. And so besides, obviously, Sparrow and Wolf and the Black Sheep, because obviously, you know, those are two of the top restaurants. What are some of the places where you just like to go eat? You're not working. You're not writing on an assignment. You just want to get a meal. What's your neighborhood spot or the spot off strip that you'd like to hang out in?
Well, I mean, I'm in a great neighborhood. I'm over by very close to the Black Sheep. You know, I'm over in that neck of the woods. But I mean, you know, within a 5-minute drive of my house, and basically we're talking, if you guys take 215 to Durango, I mean, this is the area we're talking about. You know, you have Andre Rochat has Andre's Bistro over there, which you could do really good casual French food. You've got Dan Cromer in that neck of the woods doing amazing seafood at Other Mama. You know, even in the Gramercy, you've got some great places. You have DW Bistro, you know, you have a great breakfast. I mean, actually it's three meals, but I actually really like Kitchen Table Squared for breakfast.
Oh, wow.
You know, in the Gramercy, I think that's a fantastic breakfast spot. You know, that neck of the woods is fantastic. It's near my house. You know, I could stumble home if I had to. You know, so I dig that. I love going downtown and eating at all the regular joints. But you know, it is amazing. I think you didn't bring in anybody today that hates me, or right now doesn't hate me, which is nice. You brought in, you know, the people who I've repeatedly said are my two favorite openings of 2017, and that's Brian and Jamie, who you just had on. You know, for 2018, that's where we're looking now, right? And like, what's exciting? And, you know, I have to say Mordeo Wine Bar is absolutely fantastic. Also on Spring Mountain Road, just outside of the Chinatown proper. But, you know, it's still just, you know, on the outskirts of that. And, man, talk about, you know, one of our best Asian chefs here in town, Kai Vu, who already has two fantastic restaurants.
Shout out to Kai. He's the man.
Yeah, and now he's doing Spanish and some other stuff. So that's fantastic at Mordeo. And you know where I haven't gotten yet? And it's embarrassing. So maybe you and I go tonight. Partage. Have you been over there?
I haven't been, but I see they're getting all this. Like, by the way, the pictures look phenomenal. Definitely want to go to Partage. They've been number one rated on a lot of lists.
Yeah, so. I mean, French fine dining, like right in the heart of Chinatown. And I know those guys from their other restaurant Eat, and I know that they're fantastic. So I'm excited to get over there. I mean, man, there's just so much happening off the strip these days.
Well, it's great to see that perspective because I agree, and I do need to get over to Partage. And so as a food writer and someone who's out there with the responsibility of reporting things to the public, right, how do you kind of like separate yourself from, I mean, I guess the real question is this. It goes back to something personal, and I'm okay talking about it because I mentioned this to you and, you know, you may not have been aware of this, but you wrote a story on me when I was opening up Good Pie, just that I was opening up the place, and it was incredibly impactful to me personally because I didn't have any other money. And so every single penny that I had, I put into just getting the keys of the place. And I didn't have any of the rest. And I was kind of like talking to people about trying to, you know, that's the risk. By the way, if you're trying to open a restaurant, please don't do what I just did. Because that's just, you don't do that. But I just kind of had it with, you know, just trying to get something done. And I just needed to take a risk and a chance. And it was probably a dumb move, right? But I did it. And if it wasn't for that article that you wrote saying, hey, Vince Rotolo is going to do this place, I wouldn't have gotten the financing because the investors that wrote the check to make the rest of the restaurant possible, it wasn't real to them until you wrote about it.
Well, I mean, that's amazing to hear, and it makes me feel really good and makes me feel like maybe I haven't wasted my whole life. But
no, you definitely, you know, have not wasted your life.
Because I used to be a lawyer, so now I do this. But, you know, that's part of why I love writing for the Review Journal.
Right.
You know, I've written for more underground papers, and I've done my own thing. But, you know, the Review Journal is a mainstream paper, and a lot of people say, you know, oh, you go mainstream. I'm like, yeah, hell yeah, I am, because, you know, that's got the widest readership here in town. And when I'm able to put a guy like yourself or a lot of the people that we've been talking about today, and, you know, and also we have Heidi Napranella over there, who's a great food writer at the Review Journal. When the two of us are able to take, you know, people who may get overlooked in some cities and where people didn't really care and put you guys in front of everybody in this town, man. I mean, you know, that's the reason I do what I do for a living, you know.
It's so impactful. It's so important that you handle the responsibility you have with a high level of ethics. And it's just a really incredible feeling to have to know that you're out there writing. So people that are listening and we want to follow Al Mancini, how can we see your work or where do we find you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, go to reviewjournal.com. I mean, you know, that's where you'll see my stuff and Heidi's stuff. And, you know, I mean, I just feel it's an honor to be able to shine a spotlight on good people. You know, I mean, I just did a piece on the chefs down up at Nellis Air Force Base, you know, and I mean, just this is such a great community. I just try to show people what's happening there. So you can also follow me on Facebook. Look up Al Mancini. I'll be the guy with the stupid hair. You'll be able to spot me real easily.
Al has one of the coolest mohawks of all time. Shout out to Mohawk people out there. Everybody with a mohawk know Al Mancini is part of your tribe.
And then also, you know, at Al Mancini Vegas on Twitter. And I don't do the Insta Snap or whatever the other kids are doing.
Yeah, no Insta Snap. So guys, listen, check it out. Al Mancini, great perspective. His articles, the things that Al puts out, you need to be reading because he has the real inside track on what's going on, not just off the strip, on the strip, and throughout the entire valley. Al, thanks so much. Any parting words to the view, to the listeners out there? Any final thoughts we want to share or any secrets that we want to reveal?
No, you know, really, just get off the strip. You have the opportunity to do it now. And look, stay in the casinos have some amazing, amazing places. I'm not telling you don't eat there because they're fantastic restaurants. But, you know, plan to have at least one meal or, you know, one meal for your trip or maybe spend an extra day out here and do some exploring off the strip. You know, this town is a lot more than the strip these days. And yeah, you know, you come for that and it's fantastic. And I have a good time. I spend a lot of nights on the strip. But, you know, man, we are a community that needs to be explored and you guys really should be looking out.
Guys, check it out. Al, thanks so much for coming in. Follow Al Mancini or check out the reviewjournal.com. Look at Al Mancini's column, and we'll be back after these messages. You're listening to 99.7 The Highway Vibe. This is Vincent Rotolo giving you the Foodie 411. And we're back. 99.7 The Highway Vibe. This is Vincent Rotolo giving you the Foodie 411. Hope you enjoyed today's show. Thanks for joining us. We want to really thank Chef Brian Howard of Sparrow and Wolf for coming out and really giving us that inside information on his path from his first culinary influence all the way to today, where he's one of the most respected chefs in the country. Check out Brian Howard, sparrowandwolflv.com. Thank you, Brian. Also, Chef Jamie Tran. Thank you so much, Chef Jamie. Check out Chef Jamie Chan at blacksheepvegas.com for more information on exactly what they do or to make a reservation. And thank you so much to our good friend Al Mancini. Al Mancini of the Review Journal. Follow Al on Facebook. Follow Al on social media, on Twitter. Reviewjournal.com. Check him out. We're going to see you guys next week. We're here on Friday for the Foodie 411. This is Vincent Rotolo, your host. Thank you again for joining us. And we're out of here. You've been listening to 99.7 The Highway Vibe. This is Vince Rotolo giving you the Foodie 411. We'll see y'all next week, and we're out.